it's Courtney. You know I love the Purple Pants podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everyone has a great week because it's a Purple Pants podcast.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 89, Full Circle of the Purple Pants Podcast. I serve as the honor of being your host, Bryce Isaiah. I am so humbly honored that you clicked that play button to get into this week's episode. So I want to take the time to welcome my first time listeners. What's up? And shout out to my Purple Pants posse. What it do? What's up? Can a player just get a bump bump? I don't even know. But listen, yes, I am so excited that you guys are here. Listen, it's full circle, okay? So what's the tea? What's going on with everybody? I hope everybody is good. But before I get into all of the particulars, if you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We on Apple Podcasts. We on Spotify Podcasts. Wherever it is that you get your podcast from, baby, we're there. Hit that subscribe button, okay? Give your baby boy some 5 stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? And write a review. I would greatly appreciate it. But, you know, listen, spring has sprung. We here. We getting ready to march on into May. I'm saying March, like we not in April, but listen, you know, April showers bring the May flowers. So this week, baby boy, as always, busy as a quarantine bee, but listen, I might be in quarantine, but baby, I'm a vaccinated baby boy. Vax boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Vax boys, that's right, you heard it. This Thursday, your baby boy got my second shot of the Pfizer, and I can't be more excited. I was worried because everybody was saying the second shot put them down. They felt flu-like symptoms. They had to, you know, take a nap for a couple of days. So listen, Thursday morning, you know, I had to work. Took a little sick time. Went to South Philadelphia to Walgreens. Shout out Walgreens. Went and got my vaccine. Took some Tylenol. Took some Tylenol for the remainder of the day and the next day. And honestly, Purple Pants Posse, I felt fine. I will be honest, on Saturday morning, so Thursday I took it, Friday morning I woke up, I was good. Saturday morning I woke up, well, I'm lying. Friday I woke up, baby boy was tired. I didn't really want to get out the bed. But I mean, that's not any different from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't ever want to get out the bed. If I could just sleep all day, I would. So I really didn't feel any different. Saturday morning, I just chilled. I laid in the bed. I was watching movies. I actually watched this documentary on HBO Max called The Last Cruise, which is about the, I don't know if y'all remember, I think it's called like the Princess Line. It was a cruise this time last year around February and March. It was a cruise in somewhere near Japan, and it was the first super spreader of COVID, and it's really a 45-minute documentary, and I loved it. It was just so interesting to see the people that took video footage of their experience of it. And I definitely recommend it for somebody. I say it's a daytime watch. You're doing something, you cooking, you working. Definitely watch it. It was really interesting for me to see. But I say that to say, Saturday I woke up with a slight headache because I didn't take any Tylenol or anything. But 3-4 o'clock, baby boy was ready to go. I was wetting my whistle. Saturday night in my house just chilling. So I was really fine. I'm just really excited that I am vaccinated. I'm doing my part. I've been doing my research, and they saying that baby boy might need a third shot since I got the Pfizer and an annual. But listen, if that's what it takes for baby boy to live his best life, run me the third shot, okay? And I will gladly take an annual booster because Miss COVID, Miss Rona, see you later. You not putting a damper on my life because Baby Boy is living his best life. I am really excited for this week's episode. We got a juicy, fun-filled, packed episode. It is a casual tea episode, so let me give you the rundown. You know, we got the church announcements. We got the casual tea. Baby Boy Amon is back, and he is full of surprises this week. What's the word that I want to use? He reveals some truths that I thought were so important and empowering. We talk about Luther Vandross. We talk about Derek Chauvin. We talk about Dante Wright, Micaiah Bryant. We talk about a possible Martin reboot and just definitely a juicy casual tea you don't want to miss. This week, I am also bringing to the podcast my good friend Audrey Sizemore, and we are breaking down the 4 new episodes of The Circle, and you know we got the freak of the week. So listen, put your headphones in and listen up quick. Ooh, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. Let's get into these church announcements. And on this week's church announcements, I really want to encourage my Purple Pants posse, anybody that's listening, to extend grace, extend forgiveness to someone. I am on a road to a better Bryce. And, you know, there are a lot of people in my life, a lot of family, friends that I feel like have wronged me. And I am sometimes not I don't extend the grace that I say that I should extend. And recently I had hurt someone's feelings. And when they brought it to my attention, there was nothing that I could do or say about it. I honestly had to listen to them tell me the transaction that they felt as though I had wronged them. And I honestly felt bad. And at the time, child, they told me how they felt and they hung the phone up. And that was the end of it. And it really kind of sort of like just had me reflecting in the sense of, you know, I want to apologize because they were absolutely right. Now, did I have a rebuttal to what their transaction was? Absolutely. But I took myself out of the situation and I really just heard that person in the sense of they were saying that I hurt them. And although I would really love to clarify the situation because it wasn't anything malicious, but I had to like realize in that moment that they were absolutely right, and I am 1,000% sorry for that. And what I thought was so funny was in that day that this person let me know how they felt, another person randomly called me, and this person was somebody that I actually was like mad at. And I was saying to myself when I saw that this person was calling me, I was like, wow, like how hypocritical of it would be that if I didn't take this phone call. And so I literally took the phone call, and it was my cousin. I'll just tell y'all that. And he was just like, I know you're probably still mad at me, but I just was calling and thinking about you. And I was like, actually, I'm not mad at you. And I just was explaining to them that like sometimes when people hurt me and especially people close to me, it bothers me. But I'm glad that you are reaching out and you don't even know how I don't want to use the like perfect timing, but you don't know like somebody just told me today I did something wrong to them. So I just really thought in this moment, like, wow, what a great time. And I'm like, what a hypocrite of me if I did not take this phone call. And I just honestly let my cousin know, I'm like, I love you, I'm always here for you, but honestly, you hurt my feelings. And, you know, my cousin was reciprocal. I don't know if I'm saying that word right, but he received what I was saying. And I just appreciated the moment. And it really just, I said to myself, like, I need to extend grace more. and I sit here on this podcast and I'm very honest and I tell you, I'm on a road to a better Bryce. And there are a lot of people in my past that have hurt me. I'm very quick to hit the block button on social media to family members because listen, block. But I just felt like in this moment, I need more grace. I need to show more compassion to people. I talk about it, but it's, you know, actions speak louder than words. And, you know, hurting someone's feelings unintentionally really just kind of had me thinking and in my feelings. And then the fact that my own cousin would call me somebody that I was quote unquote mad at. And when I really think about it, it wasn't even any, like what I was mad at wasn't even anything. And so it just really had me thinking that I could extend grace so much more. And I think that everyone could use this lesson of it's just extending grace and showing love and showing compassion. It's easy to say it, but I, like, this week has taught me that it is a different thing to actually exercise it. And so I'm encouraging everyone that's listening, all of my Purple Pants posse, extend grace, extend love, and not just say it, but actually do it. And that is going to conclude this week's church announcements. Now let's get into the casual tea.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. 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 It's a casual tea.
And we are back with the casual back with the casual. Okay, yeah, all right, we back with the casual tea. It's Amon and B. What's popping? Hold on, wait. I bought a not a new bell, but see the ghetto.
Oh, it be jingling.
Yeah,
come on, Christmas.
Okay. But I think I'm holding it wrong. But yes, we are back with the
casualty.
Yes, we're back with the casual tea. It's becoming a fan favorite of the Purple Pants posse. Yes, they be tweeting us up a storm. Yes, talking about they need a spinoff of the casual tea. Well, listen, okay, I'm here for a spinoff. Okay,
yes, bravo, right on off.
Okay, I love it. So yeah, and who knows the direction of the casual tea, but I again say it time and time again, I love a comfortable open space for us to like share our opinions on the world and things that we see it through the lens of our own eyes. And again, it's okay if you disagree with us. That's all right. That's the point of the casual tea. We just telling you the tea from our perspective. So it's really great. What's been going on with you the last couple of weeks, Amon?
Life is great. I recently went back home to Pittsburgh to meet my godson who was just born on last Thursday? I forget what the date, actually. But I spent the week at home with my parents and with my best friend and her child and my god. It's been a very, very peaceful and life-changing week for me because I don't know. I don't know what it is. If this is what it's like having a godchild, I cannot wait to have kids because I just feel so full of purpose. And not that I didn't before, but it just, to have to care for another human being, you know what I mean? And also spending time with my little sister as well, and she's about to go into high school. I just feel so, I'm in my parental oats right now. I just want to take care of bitches. I just love children and just new life and birth and just everything. I feel so good right now.
Yes, you're giving house mother vibes, okay? Yes. House of Pittsburgh. Yes, I love it. I have two godchildren, Peyton and Moreland, and when my... And I don't mean to be mean, but not mean, but I definitely have a more of a connection to, like, my older godson than my goddaughter, just because... He, like, I just know that feeling of, like, he is my first, and I, like, it's amazing. He's literally in seventh grade now. He's 6'4". His parents are tall.
6'4"? Yes. In seventh grade?
And seventh
grade. That is a man! Oh, shit!
Actually, I'm lying. He's in sixth grade. He's not in seventh grade. And he's predicted to be, like, 6'7", 6'8". So my godson is going to be, like, huge. But I just, yeah, and I still call him my scooshy pooshy. And he's, like, at that age where he is still, like, he's still such a child and still, like, doesn't really understand his height. And it, that's just my baby. But, like, we've got traditions, like, every year before school. I, like, get to buy his book bag. And, like, you know, but I just love my scooshy pooshy. So, yes, I know that feeling of being a godfather. It definitely is. It's definitely one that, you know, has a special place in my heart. Now, I don't know if I want kids or not, because I see, like, what it is, like, raising a child 24/7. And it's a lot. I like the fact that I can, like, you know, take you for a weekend, a day, an hour, 20 minutes, and drop you back off.
No, so, it is a lot. Like, I remember, like, I mean, this is my best friend having this kid. So, like, I'm always hanging out with her. And I went home to see her and everything. And we went over to her house to, like, you know, hold the baby and everything and talk and everything. And once it reached, like, around, like, 10:30, she was, like, ready for us to go. Like, as soon as we were out the house, she slammed the door. Like, she was... And it wasn't, like, on some rude shit. She was just, like, tired. I'm like, wow, I have never been kicked out of her house before. Like, she is a mom. Like, it's a lot of work. It really is. But I don't know. For me, I've always wanted to be a parent. So I... Just seeing her do it, it just makes me jealous. I'm like, oh, my God, I need to get this ball rolling. Like, I need this.
Well, I mean, random, and tell me if this is too personal, but it just came to my mind. So, like, when and your thoughts of, like, you becoming a parent journey, what are, like, have you thought of options for you? Like, one, I've got so many questions. Like, would you want, like, let me just ask my, like, thousands of questions, because if I don't, I forget them. So, like, my four questions are, would you be a single father, or would you prefer to, like, raise your child in a, like, relationship? What your thoughts are on adoption, or, mm-hmm. like, would you want it to actually be your child? Like, would you want a surrogate, or that whole, like, you know, expensive process mm-hmm. that, like, a lot of the gays with money go through? So I'm just curious your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, so I would definitely prefer to, excuse me, be in a relationship. I would like for my child to have two parents. I would like for my child to, like, have a village, you know what I mean? Like, I want them to, like, have multiple people to be able to go to, because I do believe, I'm not one of these people that's like, oh my God, two men can't raise a child. I absolutely believe that two men can raise a child, but I would like for my child to have some sort of feminine energy in their life as well. I would like for my child to have women to look up to. So I really just want, I want a village. I want my child to be surrounded by lots of different people in their life to guide them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of, like, surrogacy, because I mean, like, you're right. That is money. Like, it's so much money. So, I mean, I definitely have thought of adoption. I used to have this idea when I was younger that for every natural child that I have, I will also adopt one. But maybe that's in the reverse. Maybe for every child that I adopt, I should then go ahead and get a natural child. I don't know. I don't mind being a single father. Like, if life does just not work out in the way that I want it to, like, if I don't find anybody that's, like, you know, on my energy level, then I have no problem just being like, you know what, bitch, come on home with me. You know what I mean? Like, I will definitely like adopt or have a child of my own, because I just feel like that's one of my purposes in life, and I cannot like leave this earth before bringing another life into it.
Yeah, that's like, it's so interesting. I would say that in my 20s, I would have definitely said that, like, my purpose is definitely, like, I have very much maternal instincts. I'm very, like, nurturing. And but now that I'm in my 30s, like, I don't know, like, if I, like, want children as much as I used to want children. And, like, yeah, I don't know what that means for me. But so that's so interesting that you say that, like, you feel like one of your purposes is to, like, you know, to raise it, like, to raise life. And I love that. And my last question, I don't know how I got on the subject, but I love asking people these type of questions. And I definitely forgot it. So it's definitely like, hey,
stall.
So this is another thing that, I don't know how we got on this subject. This is so random.
Because I was talking about my godson and we just went off. I love it.
Right. But again, representation. I just feel like, you know, when you talk about, like, you know, like same-sex marriages and, like, you know, men with their children and, like, you know, using, like, the surrogate. Like, I've only ever seen it through the eyes of, like, TV. And I've only ever seen it through the lens of, like, gay white men. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then mm-hmm. it's like, and I feel like I wish I had, like somebody that I knew that was a same-sex, like, couple of color that were like, you know, I just, it's just, you don't see these things. And so, like, you know, it almost seems like unobtainable for us.
Yeah.
But
yes.
And I don't like that. And, you know, part of like my reason of not wanting children is that, like, I want children of my own. Like, I want my child to look like me. And I can go online and research it, but I, like, you know, I don't have that ear of somebody that has actually, like, and I'm not talking like a heterosexual couple. Like, I want to know from a gay couple what it's like. And, you know, even more so like a gay black couple that, like, you know, so these are some of the things that, like, when we talk about what it is to, like, live in our truth. And, like, you know, when I say I was scared to be like 30 and gay because I didn't know what it looks like, this is like another hurdle of mine that, like, I do want children, but I just don't know what the process would be like, and I don't know anything about that. And, like, I do want my children to look like me. I would adopt, but my first preference would be to have children that, like, look like me. I want my babies to, like, you know, I want to have, you know. So that's just something random that, like, I thought, like, have, like, do you know of anyone, like, a gay couple that has had surrogacy?
I don't know any in my life at all, and it does make me very sad, and it makes the task of, like, even looking into all of this stuff very daunting, because it feels like it's not for you. Like you said, like, it feels like some fantasy that that you only see on TV. But I know that that's not the case. You know what I mean? I know that there are.
Right.
I know that there are unspoken stories out there. I know that there probably definitely are black or people of color couples that are queer couples that are raising kids that we just don't know anything about. And I just I don't like want to be a trailblazer for other people in my situation. I just know that it's just something personally in my life that I really, really need and really, really want. And I mean, it's definitely hard though. Like, I mean, I feel like there is so much that I'm not going to be able to, like, fall back on my parents for, and there's going to be a different type of struggle being a queer parent than there is with being a straight parent. So I know that there's, like, shit that, like, I'm gonna have to get through for myself. But I know that it's something that I want. I know that it's something that I, you know, like, I. Not to get real, real deep, and not to get real, real emotional, but
we here.
I came out to my mom this week.
Yes. Hold on, wait. I didn't know we was going here. Hold on, wait. Oh, wait. Oh my God.
I know. It is relevant to the conversation because I think I sent to her. I took advantage of the fact that I was watching Drag Race with a friend and his parents or whatever, and we were drinking and having wine, and I just took advantage of being tipsy, and I'm just like, you know what, mom? Because I just spent the whole week with her, right? And I came back to Philly, and I was like, you know what, mom? Like, I love you so much, and I'm tired of, like, this fake bullshit. Like, I'm gay. Like, it is what it is. And then she texted me back, and she was like, great. Like, that's fine. Find a husband, raise some children. And that sentence just, like, really hit me. Because I was just like, I want that. I do want that. And now that my mom is telling me to do it, it's like, can't nobody tell me not to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like,
yes.
I want that. I need that. And that's, like, that's just the type of time that I'm on right now.
Yes. Oh, my God. So, now, bitch, I got, like, 7 more questions. Okay. Okay, sorry, y'all. We a little derailed from the casual tea because Aman is spilling his own tea, and I think that it's so beautiful. So, like, 4 questions or, like, 3 or 4, and tell me if you, in, like, mind you, you know I'm very invasive, so I apologize if any of them are too invasive.
You're good.
Did you feel like this was a formality?
Yes and no. Like, I felt like it had to happen because, Well, first off, I knew that my parents probably are, like, moms know. They know. Right. Like, they're not dumb. So I knew that she already knew. So it did, it in that respect, yes, it felt like a bit of a formality because until I said it, we were always going to dance around the subject. Whenever she is talking to me about, like, finding someone, she always uses someone. Damn. Yeah, oh. She would never say she. Sometimes she would say she or her, you know what I mean? Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because
so that was a clue right there. That was, like, obviously she's, like, giving you grace in that sense to be, like...
Right, exactly. So she knew. So in that respect, yes, it felt like a formality. But to counteract that, that's why I just went ahead and texted her while tipsy. I was like, you know what? I'm not about to make a big deal about this. Like, Mom, you got it right. You guessed it. I'm gay. Like, I'm like, I wanted this to be as casual as I could make it because, for one, you already know. For two, I don't need for this to be... a big reveal. This is not RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm not trying to, like, have a reveal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not lifting up my skirt for this. Like, just...
But at the same time, though, it is, like, a milestone and something, like, you know, that you will remember for the rest of your life. So, mm-hmm. like, it's not, like, this just casual... Like, you know, I get what you're saying. Like, it is, like... It's, like... I don't want to use the term a double-edged sword, but it is, like... Oh, I'm just saying I get what you're saying.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's... It definitely was scary. It was scary. Like, I remember I woke up the next morning with my friends and I was like, oh shit. Like, I was checking my text because, you know, you check your text whenever you drink just to make sure that you wasn't too crazy last night. And I was checking my text and I was like, oh my God. Like, I came out to my mom, guys, and they were all super supportive. They were like, oh my gosh, it's going to be fine. Like, you're great. Like, I can't believe you did that. This is amazing. And I did not check that text for an hour. And then when I did check it, for her to be like, duh, I'm like... it felt like such a good, like, a weight just off my shoulders and just, like... It's like, Amon, like, you need to live your life. Like, it's... Right. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's... And you know, I'm in a privileged situation because not everybody's parents are always going to be like this. You know what I mean? So I definitely respect that it's, you know, it's, I'm in a good spot. But at the same time, it's like, I'm damn near 30 years old. Like, I at some point you have to get your shit together and just be like, fuck it. This is who I am. And if you're with me, then you're with me. If you're not, then
right.
Go away.
But I mean, and. I agree, but I always say, like, you know, everyone's journey is their own, and, like, you know, you almost 30, mm-hmm. but guess what? This is where you have arrived, and some people don't ever arrive there. Yes. And, like, yes. You know, and what I love about it is that, like, I love the younger generation, like, they are here, and I love that. I love the fact that it's, like, and that almost annoys me in the sense of, like, you know, when you see people, like, in the third or fourth grade, like, coming out as gay, and some people are like, oh, it's society posing. Like, no, sis, baby, guess what? In third or fourth grade, I knew what's up. I just did not have the courage. And so I hate when we talk about these subjects of, like, people transitioning and they putting in different laws about different things. And, like, I don't really want to go into, like, the formalities of it, but I hate the way that society looks at, like, you know, transitioning for some people that, like, you know, are trans brothers and sisters, because, like, don't tell a 6-year-old that already identifies as trans, like, the way they put these laws in, like, don't get me wrong, I agree. Like, I don't think that any major surgery should happen until over the age of 18 and after, like, some psychological, like, you know, you've done some things. But I also feel like on a flip coin, but you make these laws, but at the same time, a cisgender female, white female, black female, could go get their breasts done at 16, 17 with their parents' permission. So it's like, miss me with the double head standards, okay? But mm-hmm. I just feel like those laws that they put in to be like, oh, the parents that do this, like, what does that say to that young trans person that, like, oh, you, this is a stage, you'll grow out of it? Like, no, bitch, like, that, we know what we know. Stop telling that. Like, I just feel like the message that it sends to us is if, like, no, baby, you need time to grow out of this. You're like, no, what you don't understand is if you're not in the life, you don't know. But if you're in the life, then, bitch, you know. And so this is now, mind you, I wanted to also ask you, have you had this conversation with your dad?
I have not. I guess I'm partially, like, I feel like I'm, like, in the doorway of the closet, you know what I mean? But not all the way out. Like, I feel like I'm like, hey! Right. That's where I'm coming from. But, no, I haven't had that conversation yet. I expect that my mom will probably say something because those two are thick as thieves and right. they are each other's best friends. So, of course, she's going to be like, hey, your son came out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or maybe she won't. I don't know. I really don't know. But it's also the same thing with my mom. Like, I feel like he knows too. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's also a living, breathing, human thinking person. Like, he's not dumb. So I know that he knows. I struggle with that one just a little bit more, only because of the fact that there have been times where he has shown me that he still has a bit of an issue with homosexuality. Like, if we're watching Glee, or if we're watching an episode of How to Get Away with Murder and there's a gay sex scene, he'll be like, oh my god, I can't believe they're showing this stuff on TV now. And my mom would say something like, there are gay people, they exist and they have sex, like, it is what it is. And he'll be like, I know, but like, I just can't believe that we're seeing it now. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there on mute, like,
right,
damn, like, so that is like a bit of a bridge that I'm trying to cross. And it was the same thing with my twin, because I came out to her first, and she did the same stuff. Like, if there was ever like a gay kiss on screen, she would like shield our little sister's eyes. And I'm like, don't do that, because you are literally teaching this 7-year-old, 8-year-old that what she is viewing is wrong. But when you shield her eyes like that, you are telling her that the information that she is receiving is bad. And what that's going to do is develop into homophobia when she's older and she can understand and think for herself. So don't prime her for that right now. But I still came out to her first. So I know that it's coming. I know that I'm going to have to sit down. I know that eventually whenever I meet someone and I want to introduce them, I don't want them to be blindsided. So I know that it's coming. I just haven't done it yet because he's, I don't know, I guess just like being in a, you know, straight black men, sometimes it's a little iffy, it's a little mm-hmm. tricky, you know what I mean? So.
No, for sure. I know. That's why I was just curious to know. But I feel like, you know, like you coming out to your mom is a step in the right direction. And I think that, you know, I empower and encourage you to come out to your, like, dad when you're ready, when you feel comfortable. Because, again, it's not about what your dad's feelings are. It's about you being like, I'm at a point in my life where I'm comfortable enough to want you to know. So I think that you should just remember that, like, no matter what his feelings are, like, you know, that's your dad, and if he love you, he gonna, like, he might have to go through his own journey, because, you know, he's a living, breathing human, but it doesn't really affect your journey. And, like, your journey and where you're at in your life is that, like, you're saying, like, listen, this is me. Like, and so it can't nobody take that away from you. So I'm so excited, and I love that for you. And, you know, I like to think, you know, the casual team might have had a little helping with that too, because, you know, we live in our vulnerabilities here. And so this is something that we had on the casual tea topic, which was supposed to be last, but I feel like the timing of this conversation is great. So we're talking about, you know, you said that you're like approaching 30 and you felt like it was time for you to come out. And like I was saying that, you know, people like the younger generation below us, like they coming out third, fourth, first grade. And, you know, everyone is on their own journey. But like I hope, and my hope for like my podcast, and I hope like one of the things that is true in my life is that, like, I hope that I can be a living, breathing example to someone. And I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I struggle with a lot of different things. But I feel like I can just, you know, I can share what I'm going through. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are some people that can't. And recently, we just 420. You know, everybody was getting low, whatever, you know, on 420. But also what I saw trending on 420, that it was Luther Vandross's birthday. And I was loving, you know, Googled and changed their Google emblem to Luther Vandross. I saw all of these people posting and playing Luther Vandross songs. You know, I grew up in a house where my mom is a huge Luther Vandross fan. And I had, you know, clicked a little hashtag on Twitter and was like seeing all of, you know me, I'm a comment creep. So I was clicking the hashtags on Twitter and Instagram, and I noticed through the hashtags that people were, I mean, some people were making fun, but more so people were discovering in 2021, and Luther has passed on, that Luther was a part of the LGBTQ community. And a lot of people did not know that. Now, if you go back and look at some of the photos of Luther, I think it is quite clear. No shade. But, you know, and I'm never one to, like, you know, out someone. And during Luther's life, which, again, kind of like the transition for me, and you coming, you saying that you coming out to your mom, Luther never came out publicly, ever. Ever came out publicly that he was gay. And we can all suspect that, you know, Luther was gay. You know, we can, like, I, you know, but it was after Luther had died, one of his good friends, Patti LaBelle, you know, Queen Patti, she did an interview and she actually confirmed that, like, you know, Luther had came out to her, like, you know, and that, like, you know, he just was not comfortable with, he didn't want the world to know, because, I mean, that's back in the 80s, the 90s, where a black R&B male singer singing love songs, that would be career suicide. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like, and it's so funny because, like, it I remember growing up and my mom would be playing Luther, and I remember my brothers would be like, well, you know, Luther a little sweet, and I never knew what they meant by that. And, like, they would always, like, make jokes about, like, Luther and me, and I never really got it as a child. I'm just like, I don't understand this, mommy, like, you know. But it does sadden me, like, to know that, like, you know, I'm in my 30s and I live in my truth, and it's, you know, 2021. But I just, like, as such an amazing singer and such an amazing, like, you know, it, first of all, let me just tell you this, Amon. Listen to Luther Vandross, If Only for One Night. You're not a bad person, but listen, have you a glass of wine and listen to If Only for One Night, and you tell me, as a queer person of color, if that song, You listen to If Only for One Night. That's all I'm going to say. And so that's always, like, one of my personal jams of Luther, because I feel like he's talking to, like, I just, anybody that know, I know that song. I know the feelings in that song all too well. But it just makes me sad for Luther that he was this amazing talent, amazing artist, and he couldn't even be true to himself. And that's, like, I don't know why that, like, gets me so sad. Because it's, mm-hmm. I don't want to live my life that way. Like, you know, and don't get me wrong, I know it's a different time. But the feelings, that, like, you know, and I hear some of that with you when you were saying about, like, coming out to your dad. And I just, like, you know, I don't know, just really, like, really brought up Luther for me in the sense of, like, I love everything about Luther. I like, you know, you really do have to, like, first of all, I know to Luther's close friends, he definitely would have been out and came out, because you can Google some of them Luther photos and be like, bitch, that's me. Like, I yes. literally posted a Luther photo to my story this weekend and was like, mood, because that's me, Uncle Luther, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can just see so much of myself in him, and I'm glad that we've had a Luther, but it does just make me sad that, you know, he wasn't able to live in his truth. And I feel like, just for me and on the platform, and people wonder why I'm always just screaming, living your truth, be you, forget what anybody says. Like, you know, it doesn't matter, because it's like, you know, you just don't want, you know, no, tomorrow's not promised. And so I would not want to, like, close my eyes and feel like I haven't lived my life to the fullest. So that was just, like, my Luther rant. Now, I'm just curious. Have you ever heard those rumors of Luther before?
I feel like I might have heard it once or twice, but it was never, like, an ongoing conversation for me. So I'm like, I'm not shocked to hear any of this, but, like, I'm very surprised, because, yeah, like, it's, I mean, what makes me happy about it is that there is someone out there that was, you know, to some people at least, noticeably queer, but you still enjoyed his art. You know what I mean? You still right. were able to, like, hear his voice and be moved by what was coming out of his mouth. And that, to me, is great, because what it does is it humanizes him in a way that you're sort of, like, forced to sort of reckon with. Because even your family being like, oh, well, you know, lose a little sweet. Even in that, to me, it's like, Okay, so you know that something's going on here, like, with who he chooses to lay with, but at the same time, you are still engaging in his art. And so that makes me happy, because, like, I feel like, you know, they're... yeah.
Lauren. Luke does the whole vibe. And in that same token, it makes me sad that, guess what? Gay or straight, he can, like, what does it matter about his art or his music? Mm-hmm. But, you know, a different time, a different era, and, like, you know, what the... Okay, all right. Yeah, you take us too long, Luther, to get there. But, I mean, I really do look at, like, someone like Luther as, like, Luther crawled, so, like, young podcasters like us could walk. And so here is another, like, random story that I did not put on the tee for you, but, like, in this same vein of conversation has come up. So, you know, the Rolling Loud concert or festival that takes place every year. And I think it's, like, in April, or, you know, it's kind of sort of like Coachella. Let me just get you some more information on it real quick, because, mind you, somebody had brought this to my attention. Have you ever heard of Rolling Loud?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
So it's this huge concert. It's through Friday, July 23rd and July 25th. And I'm trying to figure out where actually it is. And mind you, it was supposed to be in Miami last year. I don't know where it's at this year, but it's like just another huge concert. And, you know, since people are getting vaccinated, it looks like it is going to be in Miami. And, you know, who's not excited? I mean, first of all, I hope people are vaccinated and wear their masks. And so there was this trending topic on Twitter the other day that, like, they've got, like, over, like, 120, like, performers. And there are some headlines. I'm trying to click on the image so I could tell y'all some of the people that are on there. But my computer wants to act. So it looks like the main people are ASAP Rocky for May 8th, Travis Scott for May 9th. Like, I don't know why my computer, like, I just clicked on the thing, and why only half of it wants to show up is, like, really annoying to me. Like, okay, so anyway, but they've got, like, you know, so Friday is the big night with ASAP Rocky, and then under ASAP Rocky is, like, 21 Savage, Party Boy Cardi, Trippy Red, Da Baby, Megan Thee Stallion, and let's get down to some of the other people, like Jack Boy, Casanova, Buddy, Fat Nick, King Chris, Jazzy, Hood Brat, some, like, I never hear some of these people. But wind came to my desk that I guess Saucy Santana was not considered for Rolling Loud's concert that's going to be in Miami. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Saucy Santana is, but Saucy Santana is a rapper from Miami who for the last 2 years has been shaking the music industry up. Y'all know I champion a gay rapper, because you know I'm a gay rapper myself that has charted. You better go stream what you're looking for and get the party started. But... Santana has literally, like, I mean, walk him like a dog, sis, walk him like a dog, do it, baby, stick it, baby. And then with his, like, viral song, Let Me See You Walk, 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 like, I mean, has that not, like, transcended? And I just don't understand, like, okay, who hasn't seen this on TikTok? We had Toni Braxton doing the walk challenge. Let me see you walk, 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 walk. Y'all hoes, y'all know that you can talk. You talking all that. Let me see if you can walk. Okay, so.
Oh my God, I need to be in a club right now.
So my thing is, Saucy Santana is shaking them up. Why he ain't on the Rolling Loud concert series and in his hometown of Miami? Mm-hmm. Okay. I just saw that, you know, I saw that tweet and I was like, you know what, I made a little note, but the way the spirit is moving on this casual tea this week, I just felt like I wanted to throw that in there because I just thought that was, like, interesting. Like, don't get me wrong, they've got huge headliners, and on Sunday, Post Malone, they got Lil Uzi Vert. But again, when you get down to some of the end, they got somebody called CP. Who's that? Exactly. They got Danny Lee. Danny Lee's cute, but Saucy Santana has had more hits than Danny Lee. We only know Danny Lee from dating Da Baby. who then broke up, then not broke up, then made a somewhat like colorism song about light skin. Like stop playing with me.
Yeah, I just, you know, like.
Now, again, this is just speculation. I don't know if he was really considered or not, but I just am going off of my Twitter comment surfing that I was doing one night, and that like a lot of people were upset that Saucy Santana was not on the Rolling Loud concert set for either May 8th, May 9th, or May 10th. And even more, he is freaking from Florida, from Miami. Like, I don't understand it. So, I'm going to have to dig into that and to get a little bit more. Any thoughts on that? I'm sure you probably haven't heard any of that.
I haven't, but, like, I mean, it's no surprise. I mean, I feel like, I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of in the similar vein that we were talking about, what's his face from last week with the,
City Boy J.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I mean, people just, you know, they, because at first I was like, well, maybe it's because he's a bit of a fringe artist. He's kind of on the outskirts. He's not really, like, industry-enabled. But there are plenty of people that end up at these concerts, whether it be Rolling Loud, Firefly, or even Coachella, that you're like, who is this bitch? Like, who are they? And then you figure out who they are, and you listen to their shit, and you're like, okay, I fuck with you now. You could do the same thing with Saucy Santana, but it's like, I mean, we know it. We know what's going on. We know it's that it's they have, like, their own little particular biases about who is allowed in the club and who is not, and this dude could, like, have, like, the hit song of the summer of 2021 and still not get invited to any of these concerts until 2025, you know what I mean, until he gets signed. And it's like, that's why we need, like, that's why I'm so happy that there's somebody like Lil Nas X, which Montero is still my jam. Oh my god, that song is so, I love it. So that we can have more openly fucking queer bitches in these studios and in these positions to be like, hey, bitch, we out here. Like, we exist. And, yeah. So, I mean, I haven't really been, like, too into Saucy Santana's music. But, like, I definitely into, like, him as a personality. Like, every time he has a video that pops up, I watch the whole thing. Because he's just so charismatic. Right,
hilarious. He's really good friends with the City Girls, JT and Young Miami, which makes me happy that they will be performing on the Sunday show. So I'm hoping that maybe they will bring him out. But I just feel like some of these people don't have a song as big as Walk. So I just, for me, that's just interesting. But who knows? Hopefully he'll be. And sometimes as the trail blazes, sometimes, you know, the door isn't open for you. Sometimes you got to kick the back window in and pop up on that stage on the City Girls set and really kind of set it off. So I really do hope that Santana walks, like, figuratively speaking, through the stage doors of Rolling Loud. And, you know, continues to be a trailblazer. So back to, on to the actual docket of the tea this week. I did want to spend a little time to just talk about Derek Chauvin's all three guilty for second and third degree murder and, wait, where are my notes? And second degree manslaughter. He was found guilty this Tuesday, or like last Tuesday. And it was first, like, I had been following the trial, and I'll say loosely, in the sense that I had to protect my mental health. And it just was like, it's been such a draining year, and it's just been so much going on that I was kind of sort of protecting myself in the sense of, like, I wanted to know what was going on. So, you know, I would read little articles at night, but, like, I couldn't, like, turn the news on or anything because I'm drained. And also, we've seen this movie before time and time again, and we know how the ending is that the cop gets off. And so I was just really kind of, like, trying to distance myself from my mental health and just really just like, are we really about to have another, like, civil rights movement that, like, you know, it was just really nervous for me. And so when Tuesday came out and he was found guilty on all three charges, relief had taken over my body, and I just was, like, so happy, and I was, like, celebrating a little bit. And I had to think about it. I'm like, we're celebrating a murderer because we are shocked that he actually got convicted when we actually watch the murder live on TV.
Right.
Like, that for me was just like, that was a whole mind fuck. I process that. Like, we are cheering for the fact that a murderer was found guilty, and we're cheering because we surprised when we all seen the murderer commit murder on while he was on work and on like it just was just a lot for me. Like we shouldn't have to celebrate that. Like, that should not be something that, like, we celebrate that. Like, oh my God, they got it right finally. Like, what?
It really is insane when you really think about it that way. It's like, why are we celebrating crumbs? This is crumbs. Like, why are we so happy that this is happening? And it just makes you so sad, because it's like, why do we have to, like, celebrate the bare minimum, you know?
Right.
And I feel like, I mean, it's such incredible timing that I went home to see my godson during this, the verdict getting released, because I was at home with my parents. They weren't even in the room. I turned on CNN because I got a Twitter notification that the jury had come back and they were going to announce the verdict. And so I went straight to CNN, and my parents didn't even want to watch it because they were convinced that Derek was not going to get anything.
Same with my mom.
Mm-hmm. They were convinced. You couldn't tell them anything to the contrary. And so when the jury comes back and it's all three counts convicted, and I scream that into the room, my mom was like, really? Are you serious? And she comes in, sees it on the screen, then goes back to my dad. They have a conversation on their own. And then the next thing I know, my mom was coming into the living room in tears, just hugging me. Because for that particular moment in time, she could feel just a little bit less scared that she was going to lose me or my dad or any of the other black men in her life to some bullshit with the police. And so we can be, I feel like two things can exist at one time. Like, we can be super, super pissed off at the fact that we have to celebrate such common sense actually happening. That's what this really is. Like, the dude was on his neck. He killed him after 9 minutes and however many seconds. Put him in jail. Like, he did not need to do that. We can celebrate the fact that that happened, and also we can be mad at the fact that we had to celebrate that happened, and also still at the same time be like, finally, thank fucking God that we have reaching this, like, watershed moment where it's finally the police, bitch, you can actually lose your job. You can actually end up in jail for mishandling yourself or not doing your job to the best of your ability, because y'all are here to protect and serve. Protect and serve. You're not protecting and serving anybody if someone ends up dead over a fake-ass counterfeit bill. Right? Like, that. Why is he gone? You know what I mean? Like, why is he he is dead because of some counterfeit money. Excuse me? But we have people like Dylan Roof out here killing eight people in a church, no less, and then getting taken to Burger King. We got bitches out here shooting protesters for a Black Lives Matter protest or whatever, and getting welcomed with open arms from the police. So don't tell me that there is not a fucking policing problem. Don't tell me that there is not a problem within the culture of policing in this country. Don't tell me that. You know what I mean? So it's a heavy, heavy emotional thing that has so many like angles to it that, quite frankly, it's exhausting. But I just think about my mom. That's kind of like what I. That's the takeaway for me. Is like, I just think about like how people like my mom that are her age or even older, that the relief that they are feeling. You know what I mean? That's what I try to go back to when I get just so bogged down by the fuckery of it all.
Yeah, no. My mom, Miss Barb, had the same. When I heard that the verdict was back, I was like, oh, that was quick. And for me, I'm like, there's no... And they had announced that it was unanimous. And so I was like, there's no way that they haven't even been, it hasn't even been 2 days and they're back this quick. I'm like, it has to be guilty. And so I'm like on the phone, like arguing with my mom, because I'm like, mom, it's not, they would not be able to disagree this short amount of time. Like, and my mom just could not believe it. My mom was like, I have to see it. I have to see it. I have to see it. And so it was like, yeah, it was like my mom was so relieved to see it. And like, just true to everything that you said, it's just like we're cheering for finally something the right thing to be done. And it just, like, for me, it just doesn't make sense. And it's just, like, it just is, again, don't get me wrong, I'm, like, so happy that, like, yes, this murderer is in jail. And for me, the shade of it was when the bail was denied and he was remanded to jail. Like, yes, you're guilty. So criminals go to jail.
Yeah, he looked mighty confused.
He looked like, oh, I'm guilty, guilty. Like, yes, you're guilty, guilty.
You're guilty, and guilty. Like,
and then, yes. Did you see that meme floating around the internet? Like, I was dying. But for me, it's just like, for us as, like, people of color in this country, the trauma don't end there. Because it's like, the week before, we had Dante Wright killed. Then, on the same, like, and you know, Dante Wright in Minnesota. Then, on the same day, we got Micaiah Bryant, the 16-year-old. And it's just like, I don't feel like going into the particulars of each of these situations, because, like you said, I feel like two things can be right at the same time. Like, you know, just two things can be right at the same time. But the takeaway from both of these instances with Dante and Micaiah is that the police, from what I see on my lens, through my eyes, from my experience as a black man in America, is they don't give a fuck about us. Like, it's just like, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what situation that you're walking into, you know, no matter if she's running out with a knife, like, is, I mean, like, you don't know de-escalation? Like, yes. You know, child, you don't know the difference between a taser and a gun? Like, you are a police officer. You couldn't tackle the young lady? It's just like, your answer was four bullets to this 16-year-old girl that called you for help, despite whatever the circumstances are. She, like, I saw the knife. Like, you know what I'm saying? But my thing is, four bullets? Was it like, it's just the lack, the lack of regard for our life. And even with Dante, he in his car trying to drive away. He act like, you know, like, oh, bitch, you thought it was a taser? Why are you a police officer? Right. And to make matters worse, girl, You're currently training these other officers? Like, stop. And then it's like, you know, these countless videos then come out. We see that, like, you know, police know how to restrain themselves when there's this guy. I seen this video of this guy then stabbed a police officer. And they still do not use lethal force. I done seen video in Minnesota of a older white man. They called to the grocery store because he didn't want to wear a mask. The police got there. He telling the police, get out of my face. He had a gun in the car. He tell the police he had a gun in the car. And he, okay, too bad. Mm-hmm. Other people in that same situation, you know, our good brother Castro told the police he had a gun. Told them they shot and killed him. But this person in Minnesota, he just drives off. A police officer is hanging on the side of his car. And they still don't shoot. It's just like, you cannot tell me that when it comes to us, people of color, like, it's like they just do not give a fuck about us. And it, like, for me, that is, it's draining. 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 I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of people saying, like, what's your thoughts on this? Bitch, I don't have a thought.
It's such, like, the fact that this all happened, like, in the wake of Derek Chauvin getting, you know, sent to jail. It's just, like, it's literally an example of how it's, the work still needs to be done, right?
Because, like, right,
that's what everybody kept saying as he got convicted. They were like, this is great, but we still have a pandemic here. Like, we still have issues here. And then, lo and behold, these two stories pop up. So it's just like, this issue is so widespread. And I agree with you, like, the Micaiah situation is a little bit more tricky because there are more factors at play. But I think that fundamentally, the fact that the police, the instinct to kill is right, so front of the brain. Like, why are we like this? Why is it like this? Like, why are the police not there to pacify, de-escalate? And I know that there are people that are going to be like, well, Amon, like, you know, she had a knife and, the, you know, she probably could have killed that other girl, and I hear that. I do. I think that that policeman was just trying to stop violence from happening. I don't think that he was trying to, you know. But the thing for me is that the fact that it is just so easy to just
right
take a life. It's just like there's something wrong
and
here.
I'm sorry. And again, like, oh, I didn't want to have to go down this road. But I like the spirit is moving me to go down that road. You cannot tell me that if Micaiah was Lindsay, same situation, Lindsay, blonde hair, blue eyes, running out with a knife. I'm sorry, there, it's no way that cop would have shot Lindsay four times. And yeah, for me, that's the problem. Like that's
We can't even, and we can't even begin to have a real conversation about healing and moving and changing the system if people are not even willing to admit that. Because the minute that you bring that kind of like, the minute that you talk about the race that exists within this, in that conversation, people automatically will shut it down and be like, why are we making this about race? She had a knife. It's not because she was black. It's because she had a knife. And I'm like, then we're lost. We are lost, right, if we can't admit that.
And like you said, two things can be true at the same time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm, two things can be true at the same time. Like, yes, she had a knife. Yes, she was in, like, you know, she was in an act of, but like at the same time, the police are there to protect and to serve. Like he couldn't have.
It's like, why couldn't you? And I know that people are not going to like this. I just don't know why people. Why couldn't you run up to her and stop? You were behind her. Why couldn't you run up and like and grab her from anything? Why is it that you go for the gun? Like what? Right. Come on. And we have so many examples of this. I know that this situation is a little bit hairy, but it's like people have been shot for less.
Right.
So we know that it's more to do with the culture of policing
and the culture and how they see us. Yes.
They fear for their lives automatically, and so they just go for what is easiest to them. And that, to me, like, it's clear that there's an issue here, because we see other countries that have law enforcement that don't have the same type of shit going on. And so it's like, why can't we have that conversation? And it's whether you agree with abolishing the police and reconstructing from there, or just reforming them, something has got to give. We need actual, and I think what makes this even harder is that there are so many offices and precincts with their own jurisdiction. So every time something that goes on that gets national attention, that particular precinct will be like, okay, we are we're running an internal investigation, and then we all forget about it as a country, and then the next thing happens, and then we're on this particular precinct's
act, right,
and that last precinct. We never really follow up. I think that there just has to be some sort of like national overhaul of the way that we police. I'm not saying I don't necessarily agree with abolishing, because I think that we obviously police need to exist. I just feel like there has to be some sort of like, we need to get to the root of the issue, and that's right, not going to happen if we don't actually be intentional with the way that we are.
Well, right,
fixing the system.
And it doesn't help if we don't address that. The origin of police in this country, yes, have come from slave catchers. Like, yes, you know, like, we got to start there. The origin of police in this country. Let me just say it again for somebody that don't understand it. Like, you know, the origin of police and what we know of it today comes from slave catching. Like, that is how police were formed. If you don't know, do your own research. But that's what I'm saying. So
I need for people, and if you don't want to listen to it, at least just go look at the lyrics. Go listen to the song Sounds of the Police by KRS-One, because it's a song that really just talks about all of this stuff and how we got here. Because And people, once again, don't want to have a conversation, because then once they are privy to that information, it makes them very uncomfortable, because it's like, oh, wow, like, this country's actually really fucked up. And it changes, like, your whole belief system about that, like, about law enforcement in this country. And it's like, no, don't run away from that. Don't run away from that truth. Like, let's talk about it so that we can get rid of that issue. Come on, y'all. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, we,
It's a lot. It's a lot to unpack. And it's like, you know, again, people will disagree with our assessment from Micaiah and from Dante. And here's, like, again, what I keep coming back to. Guess what? Two things can be true at the same time.
Yes.
That's a thing, too. So
I don't want people to think that, like, we're not privy, like, that we're not, that we,
right,
we're not able to understand why that officer did what he did. Like, I understand exactly.
It. Like, I understand, and, like, have I said anything disparaging about that officer? But what my issue is not necessarily with him. It is in the culture that, yes, it is so easy to, like, shoot us. Mm-hmm. And it seems that it's like, oh, like, you know, all that you come into a situation, you see somebody with color with a knife, they gotta die. But time and time again, we have seen police show restraint. We have seen police de-escalate. We have, like, it's like what y'all are, it's almost as if, like, we watching a movie, but we read in a book, and the book and the movie are not adding up. And it's like, I what more do we have to say? It's just like, it's this pattern. It's this culture that breathes that it's okay. You can shoot and kill us. We going to protect you with the union. We got you. And, like, you know, they're aggressive. They're threatening. Like, you know, like, it's just like, when will that end? And it's just frustrating. And it's like, you know, I've stayed silent on this topic. And even, you know, me talking to you earlier today, like, I didn't even want to go down this road, because it's just like, then you got to defend the naysayers. Well, she had a knife. Bitch, that's not what I'm saying. Okay? Like, that's not what I'm saying. And I it's like, why do I have to explain to you what I'm saying when it's like, for me and people that look like me, we understand what it is. And so it's just, it's draining.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
And so it's just draining. But again, the one thing that, like, again, the peace of mind that I've been saying, and I love the fact that you said it, that two things can be true at the same time. And I think that, like, we, like, and, you know, we, on both sides, like, you know, we, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And unfortunately, like, this Derek Chauvin verdict ain't the end all be all. Okay, like, you know, and I've seen so many times, which was so powerful for me was, like, in that I've seen so many people posting and so many, like, protesters that were out and were like, imagine how many of the ones that weren't on video.
Exactly.
Because when you look at this, like, you know, George Floyd situation, when we read the police report, the original police report that came out, baby, it was a lot different than the video that we actually saw. And again, when we're talking about this culture that we're talking about, like, you know, how was that? And so if we never had this video, Derek Chauvin would still be a police officer on force right now, because, like, the report made it seem as if, like, a whole different story. Like I said, the movie is different than the book.
Yeah.
So, how, like, imagine how many more were not on video. Imagine how many people are in jail for, it's just... The system,
it's like,
is,
it's like, people think that, like, people are, like, trying to, like, run an agenda. Like, the Black Lives Matter movement is just, like, trying to, like, that we just got here. Like, Black Lives Matter is a culmination of all of the bullshit that has happened before. So, yes, think about all of the times that this could have happened and we would not have been privy to it because no one was recording. This is not an isolated incident. It is a national issue. Like, it's been going on for quite some time, and just because this is the first time that you are hearing about it, and just because CNN decided to press play on their own fucking coverage, like, that doesn't mean that it hasn't been happening already. It doesn't mean that there are other instances that have, like, long since been brushed under the rug. Like, we have got a real issue here, and until people are willing to even just step out of their front door and have that conversation, we can't really get anywhere. And so Derek Chauvin, to me, like, it's a huge step forward. I don't want to, like, celebrate crumbs, but at the same time, it is a huge step forward. And I just hope that this is just the beginning, and we can really start having more in-depth conversations and really looking at the way that law enforcement has to operate and move. Because it shouldn't, taking life should not be that easy. Like, I want people to, like, let that sink in. Like, this girl is gone now. She's gone. There's nothing else. her story is over. The same thing with George Floyd, it's gone. You know, like, no verdict is going to change that. And I think that people need to, like, understand that. And, like, it shouldn't be so cavalier to just take life. It just shouldn't be that way. Like, we are so gun crazy in this country, too. That's another conversation. Like, we're just so gun crazy. So, like, we just believe in, like, yeah, I'll kill that motherfucker if he does. Like, God, why are we here? Like, how do we get here to the situation where we are just, like, it's just, oh, man. I don't even know if I really have, like, the capacity or the range to talk about, like, all these topics. But, like, it's just, I know that even with my limited amount of information, I know that there's an issue. I can at least recognize that. And I think that we all have to at least be on that same level.
No, for sure. Like, I can't tell you, like, I was, the other day, I was driving somewhere. Police got behind me. Just the middle of the day. I'm going to Target. I instantaneously, like, my blood pressure went up. I'm checking my mirrors. And I'm just, I had to tell myself, bitch, you're not doing nothing wrong. Why are you getting like this? Like, it's a real issue. And it's just like, you know, we take a knee. They got a problem with us taking a knee. We protest. There's a problem with us protest. They tell us to don't resist. Like, you know, it's just like, what are we to do? And it's draining. And it's draining. That's all I could say. I didn't even want to talk about it because it's like literally like it affects my mental health. Like, it literally like gets me out of like proportion. So I don't want to end this segment of this, but I do want to move on in the sense of like, I'm glad that we talked about it because I felt like, honestly, I wanted to talk about it, but I did not have the mental capacity to talk about it because it's just so draining. Mm-hmm. But on to something a little more positive, okay? Hell of a transition. But listen, we talked about LeVar Burton last Casual Tea about being the host on Jeopardy. And so he has not been made the permanent host, but it was announced that in the next season, LeVar will serve as a guest judge this summer on Jeopardy. So that's exciting. There are a list of other guest hosts that will go. But I think Burton will appear as the host of Jeopardy from July 26th to the 30th. The show's producer announced on Wednesday. Other recently guest hosts include journalist Robin Roberts, David Faber, and sports star Joe Buck. I don't know who they are. I mean, I know Robin Roberts. But listen, we here for LeVar. So, yeah, who knows what this can turn into? This could maybe lead to a more permanent role. But, you know, I tell y'all things on the Casualty, and I just wanted to, like, you know, give you an update that he's not the host. I mean, he'll be the host July 26th to the 30th, but it's for a guest spot. So, like, you know, that's exciting.
That is exciting. I'm glad. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of other guests and guest judges or whatever. But, like, I hope that, like, he can, like, this is your moment, LeVar. Like, you were talking all your shit online. Right. Now it's time to, like, back it up. Like, I want you to be the best.
I heard that you were talking shit. Now let me see your walk. Walk.
Exactly. Walk. I want you to be the best guest host that they have out of all that fucking list of names. Like, show us what you're talking about. Show us what you're working with. Like, I'm happy for him. This is great. I'm excited. Yes. I will definitely tune in. Like I said, I don't be watching Jeopardy like that. But the fact that he is so passionate about this, I'm like, bitch, I will tune in because I want to know. Like, I you are talking all this shit, so I want to see it. So I'm happy.
Yes, so am I. I was excited. I was like, oh yes, this is good. And mind you, some people was tweeting me like, he's the host, and so I was like, wait a minute, I can see that. So then I had to do my fact checking, and I was like, no, he's a guest host. But it's still a win for us, so that's exciting. We had, like, two more things to talk about, but listen, we can just end on. So, first of all, Tanisha Arnold and Tisha Campbell from Martin. First of all, anytime I think of Tisha Campbell, I think of, what was her thing? Like, I'm here! You know that? Like, girl.
Yo, people really clowned her for that. Like,
yes. I was like, girl, what in the... So, that is Gina from Martin. And let me see. I'm trying to see if I can find a song. I don't think. I don't even know what the name of it was. But
probably I'm Here.
Yeah, I don't... Listen, she got... Yeah, I'm just trying to see what her... She got 2020... Like... What you giving, girl? Hold on. Sorry, y'all. I don't think this is it, though.
Right back to business. Damn, I kind of miss this. Sometimes you win.
Well, that sounds kind of like a jam. So we not going to clown Tisha in the sense of she like she does have some jams that you can, like, you know, get into. But there was this one video where she was like, I am here. Like, girl. But, okay. We're talking about them because they... They recently went on the... What's the lady's name? Tammy Roman. Not Tammy Roman.
I thought you were about to say Tommy Lahren. I was like, what? Excuse me?
No. It is... she is... What's her name? Tony... she's a black woman. She has a daytime talk show. I am... her name? Tamara Hall. Does that sound familiar?
Tamron.
Tamron.
Huh.
So they went on their show. Just, you know, I love them. They're best friends. They were friends from Martin. And, like, you know, they were friends before Martin, friends during Martin, friends after Martin. I love Tanisha and Tisha Campbell. Just love seeing them. But the question was asked about maybe like a year ago. They were talking about a possible Martin reboot. And everybody was like, yes! But... I was not. Don't get me wrong. I'm loving some of these reboots. I'm loving some of these redoing these classic movies. But for me, some things are best left alone. Like, we don't, like, no. And so when I first read that headline, I was like, oh, God. Like, what, like, you know. But Tanisha said more than likely it is not going to happen. Although they would want it to happen, they are saying that if it's not the original cast, and we know a couple of years ago we lost Tommy. Tommy passed away. So they're saying we don't have the original cast. Doesn't feel right. And Tisha Campbell said maybe a way that it could be done if it was like an animation form of the show. No, we don't want it. Okay.
Animation. What?
Like, what? No, we don't want it. Now, I would be here for you know how Will Smith did the reunion of the Fresh Prince and brought everybody together on HBO Max? Mm-hmm. Like, I would be here for something like that. Do a reunion. Maybe even start the reunion off like it's an actual episode. Like, you know what I mean? You could give me something like that, but give me a reunion. I don't want to see a Where Are Y'all Now, because guess what? It doesn't work. I feel like it tarnishes the legacy, because Martin is like forever held so high. And if you were to redo it and it just doesn't work, then we would have that mess that the internet, and we know the internet would clown forever. And it's just like, no, leave Martin alone. It's a great show. I would be here for the reunion because I would want them to really get into Martin and Tisha's relationship. Because if anybody knows, like, you know, the last season of Martin was like almost never happened because Tisha, like, if y'all remember when Gina went to LA, that's because like they were in like literally legal issues with Martin and Gina over like a sexual harassment suit. So like when the last two seasons, you never saw Gina and Martin film together, because like the one season was like without Martin, and then the final, like, so yeah, that's a whole big thing. And so they've since come together, but I would love to see them face to face talk about it.
Yeah, no, I think that there really should be a show. I'm surprised that someone hasn't, like, capitalized on this already. Like, we are so into nostalgia culture right now. Like, everybody just loves to, like, reboot a bitch, like, reshoot a bitch. Like, it's just, like, everybody just wants to, like, go back in time. And I feel like there should be a show where people are sort of, like, able to do exactly what Will Smith did with, like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and sort of, you know, bring everybody together and talk about, you know, their time on the show and all the things that went into it and everything. But I agree with you mainly that not everything needs... Some things can just be in the past. Some things can just stay alone, you know what I mean? And I don't necessarily agree with the critique that there's too many reboots going on right now. I think that, like, if you... Because a lot of people think that there's just, like, nothing new to watch anymore. People are so focused on going back. I'm like, you are mistaken, honey. We are in the streaming like, nexus of the world right now. Like, there is always something new on Netflix, Showtime, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus. There is so much new material out there. So I don't think that it's that we are drowning in reboots. I just think that it's just really, really popular. And it's popular because it gets conversation going each and every time it happens. Because whether or not people are for the reboot or against it, you're going to be talking about it because you just want to see what's going to happen. So I didn't watch too much Martin growing up. So if there was a reboot, I wouldn't really care because I probably wouldn't spend too much time watching it anyway. But I agree with you that not everything needs to, you know, sometimes we can just let things, you know, lay and just, you know, be happy about that.
But so Martin is a great show, though, Amon, that you should watch.
I hear that every single time. Like, every time someone's like, "You don't watch Martin," I'm like, "I'm sorry." Like I said, like, I was a child of the '90s, and I loved Cartoon Network. I did not like watching real people on TV. I don't know what it was. Like, it's just a fantastic part of my personality. I just wanted to watch cartoons. So, like, all of the sitcoms of the 90s and the early 2000s, I missed out on them entirely. I wasn't about that.
So, here's what I would say, because I feel like I may be in a similar boat issue. I just had older brothers, and my older brothers watched Martin, so I just was, like, forced to watch it, and I loved it. But I love, like, you know, at night, BET will run, you know, like, all Martin. So I just think sometimes when you can get into an episode or two, it's really, really great. Now, here is a reboot that I would love to see that maybe, I don't know, but Living Single. Okay? I would love
to get that one going. Yeah.
Single.
Yeah.
I would like, and you know, even just for a season, I would just love a Living Single reboot. Okay? And it's, I think I talked about it before, but you know, if y'all don't know Living Single, a little culture appropriation. Living Single is the original Friends, okay? The idea of Friends was literally taken from Living Single. So if you've never seen Living Single, okay, with Queen Latifah, with Regine, with Maxine Shaw, attorney at law. Like, I love me some Living Single. So and mind you, the cast is still living. Everyone is still alive. I just feel like, or again, I would even settle for HBO Max, like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like for you, like I would even, like, you're right. Like, there needs to be, like, you know how TV One does the unsung people? Like, I would love, it don't have to be unsung, because unsung is for people that, like, was, like, never really peaked. But just a, like, a nostalgia where you can get the whole cast together. I would love it, but I would so be here for a Living Single reboot. Okay, I love Regine. As a young gay man growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, I'm glad I got my girl. Keep your head up. What? Keep your head up. That's right. Whatever you talk, you gotta fight with my homegirl standing to my left and my right. True blue. We gotta like that. We are living, hey, single. Ooh, 90s kind of girl. I'm glad I got my, okay, but anyway, the young gay Bryce lived for Regine. Now, mind you, the adult gay Bryce goes back and looks at what Regine looked like with them hair and outfits, and it's a no for me. But I lived. So yeah, that's all we brewed up this week for this week's Casual Tea. Wait, before we go, I'm about to ask you, like, what's going on with Drag Race? Give all that tea about Drag Race. And tell the people where they can find you. We can end on that.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Amon Antwin on Twitter, on Instagram, all them socials. Just hit me up.
What about Drag the Race? Twitch, bitch?
Oh, also on Twitch, thank you for reminding me. I have not been Twitching lately because I've been home all week and I haven't been away from my setup, but I am finally making my triumphant return to Twitch this week. So yes, make sure that you hit me up on there as well. I'm always reading Harry Potter, playing video games, all that kind of shit. Drag Race was great. I'm going to talk about it later with Beth and Liana. It was great. I think that we all kind of expected this outcome to happen. I think that the biggest gag, of course, was Candy beating Rosé in that lip sync. Apparently, Rosé had a bit of a limp. She said that she got injured, and so maybe she wasn't able to perform to the best of her ability. But it did feel kind of, like, weird that Rosé was not top two or Gottmik was not top two, because they definitely have stronger track records than Miss Candy Muse. Even though I love Candy Muse, she was my number one pick to win. So I guess in terms of the draft that I did, like, you know, she did pretty well. And I love her attitude, too. Like, I love the fact that, like, she probably was expecting to get a little bit of the hate because of the fact that, yes, she doesn't have the strong track record like the other girls do. So, of course, fans are going to be like, why are you up there? Like, you're not even top two. Like, you didn't win anything. But she has been so, like, gracious on Twitter and so positive on Twitter. And I really admire that, that, you know, you can be subjected to such bullshit, but still choose to pay attention to the people that are sending you love. So, shout out to Kingdom Muse. You are my top two, queen bitch. Also, of course, congratulations to Simone. She worked it all season. Yes, she was in the bottom two twice, but she won four challenges, and she brought it home for the House of Avalon. Gigi Good is one of her sisters, so I'm sure that they are just, like, going up right now and, like, just loving life, and just, I'm so happy for her. I hope that she is in whatever Rihanna has planned cooking up, because Rihanna definitely slid into her DM, so I just want to see whatever they got cooking up. And, yes, Drag Race was great. I'm happy, and... Woo, it's a break now, bitch, because that shit was on since New Year's Day.
Yes.
And now we finally get to take a break.
They said it was the longest, the second or one of, like, I guess the other longest season was like season three, they said. I read. I did the little research a little bit. But yeah, that, ooh, that is a long, long time.
A long time.
It's giving me Housewives vibes. That's how I feel like Housewives of Atlanta used to be. Like, I feel like it was on for like 6 months.
Yes. I guess almost have been on as long as the challenge right now. The challenge has been on for like since like December. Like it's like half a year. Like what are we challenging at this point? And I know I'm gonna get hate for this because every time I like talk shit about the challenge, people.
Well, first of all, shout out to Amber. I was so happy to see my girl Amber win. Yes, Amber and CT. Yes. I mean, I ain't really here for CT, but I'm here for Amber because ain't nobody wanted to work with her. They didn't trade the partners, and then Fessy, you didn't want it, Casey, so bad. But then when it came down time for you to eat something, you ain't want to eat, and then you trying to blame it on Casey. Boy, bye. Shout out to my girl Amber that nobody wanted to work with her, and at the end of the day, she pulled through for her first season on The Challenge. Like, yes, The Challenge is something that I watch on the low. I don't talk about it because, like, you know, listen. But I do be watching The Challenge. All right, that's it. We done this week. Casual T, Amon, I see you later. Let me see your walk. Walk. I heard you. You could talk. You talking all that. But let me see if you could walk next week. Bye. All right. And keeping the menu rolling. Y'all been asking for it. You've been asking. You've been DM. You've been tweeting it. You've been saying, Bryce, talk about the circle. And so I could not talk about the circle without bringing my good girlfriend Audrey Sizemore to the podcast.
Ooh, yes,
the, my bell.
It wasn't ready for me.
It wasn't ready. So yes, I have my friend Audrey. You know I like to call her Aud. Okay, mm-hmm. But I got my good girlfriend Aud here, and we are going to get into the circle.
Yes, let's do it. We're also used to hearing Jack talk about Survivor. We are here for a woman's touch with the circle. Let's get into it. Yes.
But first, let me just say, Purple Pants Posse, Audrey has always been like, where are the women at? Okay, baby boy, you need a girl over there. And yes. So I am so happy that I have Audrey here because Audrey is a great friend of mine. She's helped me out a huge deal with the podcast. And we've been talking about for us coming together to do something.
Yes.
And I just, for me, and you know, I always were like, when the time comes, we'll know. And I just love the fact that this kind of sort of like marinated together to perfect. So I'm so excited to see what we talk about with the circle. Now, forewarning, Spicy Bryce is out to play. I've been drinking a little bit. Audrey's mom had a birthday. So
yes,
Audrey
happy
was
birthday,
out.
Joyce. Woohoo.
Okay, happy birthday, Mama Joyce. Okay, not Candy's mom, but Joyce.
No, not Candy's mom.
But Audrey's mom. But yes. Okay, so what are your thoughts on the circle, Audrey? I'm dying to hear.
Okay, so right off, I love the circle. I lived for it last season. I went back and watched only season one of the UK, but I just love how short it is, like in episode length. Honestly, a few of these episodes, like, they were playing too much on, like, the flirtation aspect between a few of the people. I'm like, I did not sign up for The Bachelor. I hate shows like that. So I was like, why are we focusing on Chloe and Trevor? I don't like this.
First of all, Trevor ain't even a man. Okay? So let's just get that out the way. And Chloe, girl, team too much.
Oh my God.
I hate a bitch that's like women empowerment.
God.
But then you do everything in your power not to empower the other women.
It's bad. It's like Chloe is one who's kind of turned it around for me, but she hasn't like held that top spot for me just because like you aren't here to get married. You are here to play a game. This isn't too hot to handle anymore, girl. Like you need to buck up and move on. That is my biggest qualm with Chloe.
Here's my thing though, Audrey though. If I were ever to play the circle and I saw somebody hot, I mean, I probably would be like, the circle, slide into the DMs, take this nude photo and send it to Trump. Like, did you see
the circle intern is literally going insane. They posted like a picture of someone's face in between two pillows and was like, we wish this was our face in between Mitchell's thighs. I was like, intern of the circle needs to be reined the hell in.
That might have been me.
I was not expecting, but I laughed so hard. Even though Mitchell is kind of a snooze, if you ask me. I hope he gets cut soon. We'll start from the beginning. My first standouts, like at the very start of the circle, were definitely Savannah and Terlisha. I was like, okay, girls, these are very smart girls who are coming in to play the game, and I was devastated to see them turn on one another.
But here's the thing, though, I saw that from their first
Like
I saw that in that. First, when they had to go into the isolation room, the quarantine room, they were playing too hot to handle. I saw the demise written on the wall. So that was like not a surprise for me.
Do you think you were more team Savannah or team Terlisha in their big blow up? I was definitely team Terlisha, like 100%.
I was 100% more team Terlisha in that essence of it.
Like, because Savannah, she fully was the one who flipped. The only thing that Terlisha had to go off of before the fight was the girl gang group message that they all made, all the girls together. That was the only piece of information that they, like, should have gone in agreeing on when they first became the, like, not head of household, God, wrong show, but, like, you know what I mean?
Not Big Brother.
The influencers. When they first went in as the co-influencers, the one thing that they should have gone in agreeing on since they had that group message was the girl gang. But then Savannah over here has this insane allegiance to Courtney when Terlisha was right. Courtney is setting himself up very well to win this show, I think. Terlisha saw it from a mile away.
But see, okay, so listen, so glad that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. So my issue with Terlisha from the first tribal council, okay, was I did not like how, so I 100% agree with you. Courtney is, baby boy is setting himself up nice, right?
He's playing hard.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was so shocking that at the first tribal council with Savannah and Terlisha, how quickly she was like ready to turn on Courtney. Like that was just like, well, so it's like that just was not a surprise to me that how it unfolded the way it did with Terlisha, like still guns a-blazing for Courtney.
But they both went in too hard to eventually just get out Bryant. Like Bryant, I full on cried when Bryant and Lee, like, for, or I guess River, we'll say River for like continuity, but when they first met each other, like once Bryant was eliminated, Bryant, the tears were so real. They were so precious.
Two things. So many people tweeted me and was like, you don't remember Bryant from America's Next Top Model when they brought the males on?
What?
Yes. So apparently, you remember the season when they added men to America's Next Top Model? I guess it was like only one season.
Apparently,
Bryant was one of them. I don't remember.
Stop.
Because, listen, I stopped watching America's Next Top Model.
After season 17, I was like, y'all did dirty to the girl who should have won All Stars. We are not about to support y'all anymore. No, I feel... That's crazy.
So, yeah, so I wanted to point that out. And I also wanted to point out how Lee got me together. So random story, Lee the other day followed me. And I was like, oh my God, hey, like, you know, hey, Lee. And Lee wrote back and was like, he was like, Jack adores you. I'm like, well, you know, that's cute. Baby boy. And he's like, you know, I watched you and Taryn review of episode 2. And I'm like, oh. He's like, hopefully I can win you over. You seem to love hate me. I was like,
Oh my God. I honestly, we love the straightforwardness and directness of Lee, though. Love that. That's so funny. Lee is one of the ones who I fully wrote him off at the beginning. And now I'm like, honestly, between him and Courtney, I think that those are the top two.
For sure. But
to win the whole thing.
I first of all, you know, me being a black queer male, I am rooting for
Team Courtney. Totally.
Courtney. But this is my issue, is that Tara Leisha has set, like, she's planted seeds. He's played almost too perfect.
Right.
And so I am just a little nervous for Courtney in the sense that, like, I feel like his cards are revealed. And it's nothing against him. It's everything in the sense that, like, it's like, damn it. Like, why you gotta be so perfect?
Totally. So, and it's I think from the Savannah Tara Leisha fallout, I definitely think Jack, obviously, and Courtney have definitely felt the most damage from those two, because I think with Jack, he just wouldn't commit to, like, either side. And that obviously was, like, his downfall. And then I think Courtney being so connected to Savannah, that just sent, it was, like, too much too soon to be so devoted to her, I think.
No, for sure. And the one thing that I love about my baby boy Jack is that, like, you know, Jack and I have such a strong relationship. He is a great friend of mine outside of the circle. And I love the fact that, like, I feel like from watching the show, even though I felt like, you know, Courtney did Emily a little dirty.
Totally. Of course.
But I felt like, you know, it really, like, for me, it just spoke volumes that, like, I am one of, like, Jack's one of, like, you know, he's one of my really good friends. And, like, the fact that he is a heterosexual, straight, cisgender male, and, like, he's friends with me. And I love the fact that seeing another, like, queer person of color, and he's drawn to that person.
The first thing he said was, he was like, this is who I'd be friends with in real life.
When I tell y'all, that made me cry, because it's just like,
I thought of you instantly. I was like, oh my God, we see this. We love this.
And I was just so here for it. So I just, that little tap it. But Courtney doing Emily dirty like that. But I ain't mad, because it's a game. Yeah, but the way Emily did that makeup.
Oh my God. And honestly, I feel bad, because truly, as, like, a woman, I don't even think I could have done much better. Like, so totally, it was like, there was just so much, I think, because they went into that round wanting to find a catfish, that they were willing, the whole team, the whole house was willing to just jump on any bit of information that could have led them to get out catfish. And so I think that honestly is Jack's downfall, because he could have really played up the, like, well, I'm like very natural. I don't wear a lot of makeup in my everyday life. But I think because they went into it having eliminated three people who were themselves, they, like, I mean, the Lance character, that one was obvious AF. Like, they knew that they had to rate them low. But it's like, I think if it was any other round, Jack might have squeezed.
He might have slid by, but it was the lashes for me. It was the lashes for me.
Like, God, it was so bad.
I text Jack that I said, "Bish." Like, honestly, I was like, Jack, you should have just put lipstick on it and just, like, totally.
Oh my God.
And then I almost wish the circle. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I almost wish Jack went in as himself. Like, I was talking to one of my friends about it recently, and he was like, honestly, the most that I connected with Jack was when he met Lisa, when they first were, like, both eliminated from the game. That was when I most connected, because you could see Jack playing, like, obviously as himself. They didn't know what was happening. So I almost wish that, I think he could have done a lot better if maybe he didn't go in as a catfish. But I think he was honestly, like, people get lost in the fantasy of being the villain, so I think like that might have clouded his judgment a bit too much, but
just a little bit in the sense of like Jax in no way, shape, or form a villain at all. Jax is a I don't even want to say a lover, but Jax is a quirky, nerdy, cool like. Can hit you with the whoa and like is down to earth, and so I like the fact that he was a catfish in the sense of I felt like it gave him permission to like go the extra mile that he might totally be scared of.
Right.
But for me, again, bitch, it was the lashes.
It was so bad. And Trevor, on the flip side, like, seeds of doubt have been like swimming in everyone's head around Trevor just because he is laying on, or I guess Delisa is laying on the single father thing a little too much.
Hard.
Too much. So I think the seeds of doubt have been definitely like enhanced with, I keep forgetting the name, Trevor. But they just went for Emily that round. Cause I think, I mean, Trevor is honestly falling by the wayside, but in a way where I think that Trevor is definitely going to make it to the end, but I don't think that Trevor has, like, winning potential.
Right, but see, and that's kind of like, I don't know how I feel about Trevor. I feel like you're right. Trevor has absolutely fell to the wayside. I feel like Trevor lays on being a single father too much to the point of, like, I feel like it... To the point that if I were on the circle, I would feel like it's a single mother.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, you know, but being as though Trevor has kind of sort of like been under the radar a little bit. Like, I don't really know like what will happen in the next couple of episodes. So for me, really like Trevor, Lee, or Courtney. It's like kind of like where I'm leaving it at.
If Courtney can get past the next few episodes, I think Courtney has the best chance to win, but he has to make it through the next, like, I think he needs to be the influencer the next round. I think Trevor, unless he does something super noteworthy, then he's like a no votes finalist.
Right, giving me GOAT vibe. Very much GOAT vibe.
Totally, yes. And then Chloe though, I think Chloe is going, Chloe, like, again, she started out and I was like, I fully wrote her off. I was like, oh my God, why is she here? But I think she is setting herself up nicely amongst the rest of the people. And so I'm pretty sure that last season it was a final five. And so my pick for the final five right now, with Courtney and Lee being the top two, I think it's definitely Courtney, Lee, Trevor, Chloe, and then honestly, I can't even remember the rest.
I'm curious to see how Jack and Lance Bass-esque their new person will do.
Mm-hmm. I think that they could do good there.
They could do good there. And then I'm worried about how scorned Jack might be against Courtney. So yeah. I'm curious to see how that new person will be. But honestly, like, I want to see more, Trevor? I want to see
Mitchell,
more
Mitchell.
Oh,
okay. God. I need more substance from him. He is too, like,
it's quite all
bro
right.
Code. It's the bro code for me.
It's fine for me. Listen, you know, he Ed brother. You know, they live down the street from me in Quashahawkin.
Oh, my God.
Listen,
my mom freaked out. She was like, I know where he lives. I was like, oh my God, girl.
Yes. So, I mean, and another thing that what I love about the circle is that I love how they put out, it's literally like 3 weeks. It's four episodes.
Amazing.
Like, it's for me, it's the perfect, like,
it's amazing.
Binge. Like, this is how I want to binge watch something. An HBO Max generation, take notes. Okay.
Truly. Oh my God. Cause it's, I mean, maybe they could, like, handle with, like, three episodes, because after about 3 hours of it, I'm like, okay, y'all, we just need to wrap it up. Because it's like, you can't even get on Twitter until, at least I don't get on Twitter until I am done with it. Because I hate spoilers, but I'm asking for it if I get on Twitter like Wednesday during the day. I like the short format for sure.
I do love the like four episodes, then a finale. Like, yeah. I love that because it's like, but you're right. It sucks in the sense of, you know me, I'm like a survivor type of, I like to tweet, and so it's so mm-hmm. hard because you never know. And then every time I go on, people are screenshotting me and telling me and spoiling.
God.
And then, you know, once I saw my baby boy crying.
Oh, my God. Because you could feel it. You could feel it from Jax, like, within. He was so upset. And I feel like, you know, obviously I've never played a game show, but I feel like anyone who has, who knows that it's their time to go, like, it's just kind of hit them in the gut in that scene when they just see the writing on the wall.
And so when I saw my baby boy crying, I FaceTimed him and I was like, Jack, I'm done. I'm like, I'm not watching this season anymore. And like, so then he's coaching me. He's like, no, Bryce.
Oh my God.
And he's like, it gets better. Like, watch it. I'm like, no, Jack. I'm like, Jack, baby boy has something to drink. I'm ready to cuss these. I'm Courtney. I'm ready to cuss these. And Jack's like, I'll watch it with you. I'm like, what do you mean watch it with me? He's like, just put the phone down and finish the episode. I'm like, Jack, I'm done. He's like, bro, just watch it.
Oh my God, right? Because honestly, I like this twist because both of them can come together, you know, like cross-reference notes and really take it.
Low key though, this is just me spitting off the top of my head. I do feel like this is the circle being like, we did kind of just F Jax game up. Let's like see what we could do, because it was like up until point, he was killing it. And I know I'm biased and sorry. Like, listen, like I said, I don't play about Wendeezy, and now you can add Emily and Jack to that list. But I really felt like he was like Emily was a shoo-in to win.
You think?
Maybe I'll be a buyer. Maybe I'll be a buyer. Girl, tell me about myself, girl.
You know, obviously, I am nowhere near as connected to Jack as you are. So I could definitely see people were getting a little frustrated with the flip-floppiness of Emily. So I don't think that he had much longer unless he did something drastic. But then, obviously, the eyelashes. It was the eyelashes.
Oh, girl. It's the lashes.
Oh, God. But I think the four that I mentioned earlier, those are definitely the ones who I could see taking it. Anyone else could slide in for the fifth spot. I really think that it was top five last time, but I don't see anyone. Kat, maybe, but I really have a more of a connection with the first people to enter than I do with the people who come in later.
And that's something I struggle with the circle, is that my allegiance as a viewer is always going to be for the first people mm-hmm. that enter the house, no matter what. Even if it was Chloe.
Right.
even if it was Chloe, there is something about my, like, I don't know. So I wish in the future, I don't know.
They started with 10 maybe and just kept the 10.
Or maybe it was like they start with 10, but maybe it's like five people only have contact with each other and five people only have contact. So it's like we don't have this, because for me, don't get me wrong, like I love Mitchell, but if Mitchell were to win, I would feel some type
of way. I'd be pissed.
Well,
also, real quick, I hate when people go in and are like, I'm the virgin. Nobody cares. That doesn't make you special. Like, get over it. There's so much more to life than being the hashtag virgin of the season. I hate that on any reality TV show. If that is your entire personality, please find a new one. It's so annoying.
I am the version of this podcast.
Oh, God.
I'm saving myself for my husband, sis.
Well, congrats.
Okay, this was so amazing.
It was. It was good.
What you doing next week? Can we count on you next week for the another four episode rundown of the Circal?
Of course. It would be my utmost honor to come back to the Purple Pants podcast.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so exciting. So, listen, you heard it here first. Audrey will come back, and we will... I don't even know if we can call this a review of the circle, because I really felt like this was more of a kiki of the circle. But either way, I loved it. And
it
if you
good,
guys
yeah.
got your life from Audrey Bebe, guess what? She got a YouTube channel.
Yes.
And listen, she dishes on...
if you like polygamy, I cover all the polygamous shows out here.
Searching for a Sister Wife. Now listen, let me just tell y'all, I saved 2 episode reviews of Audrey of that show to watch on Thursdays, because Thursdays at my work day is like my most boringest day. Audrey, tell the people where they can find you at. Tell your YouTube, because listen, they need to know the goodness about Audrey. And before she even tells you that, I just want to big Audrey up one more time, in the sense of, if you like, I like following a lot of shows, but sometimes I just honestly do not have the energy to just watch the shows in the commercial. Baby, Audrey will get you in and out in under like 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. So if you really want a fun, loving review, it's my girl Audrey. But let them know where they can follow you at, Audrey. Oh,
yes, totally. So my YouTube is Audrey S, but it's much more easier to find if you go to my Twitter. I usually post the episodes right after at Audrey Sizemore 1 on Twitter. Again, I cover the shows that people are like, I've put in so much effort of my life keeping up, but I am over it, but I still want to know what's the ins and outs. I try to get in and out between 5 and 6 minutes. Keep it cute. Nobody needs to hear me talking about Cody Brown's stupid ass for 20 minutes. So I try to keep them short. They're a lot of fun to do. Please subscribe to my channel, you know, on the road to being monetized. But thank you.
Yes. So real quick, Audrey.
Yes.
I do not have, I don't know what is, like, not Paramount Plus, but I want to watch 90 Day... Single?
My God, Big Ed, yes. Oh God. They're on Discovery Plus. I haven't gotten Discovery Plus yet because I don't know how to keep count of all these extra subscriptions
I think
Verizon, I have Verizon as like my cell phone carrier, and I think I can get 6 months free on, if I have like an unlimited plan, which of course I have an unlimited plan. And so I think I can get 6 months free because I am dying. Apparently, Big Ed has been a train wreck during Single Life.
Big Ed, and there's like 2 other of those that I want to see. So I am literally like 3 seconds from texting Wendell being like, bitch, give me your password.
We need to get in,
because
yes.
Because I want to see it, but I saw the commercial the other day and I was like, oh my God, I meant to text you to be like, are you watching this?
Oh my God, not yet.
I don't know. Maybe if the people like our circle review, maybe that's something we can
cover the single life. I'm totally down. Let us know in the comments, y'all. We will get onto it if you're interested.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Audrey. This is literally... so much fun.
Yes,
and I don't
it was
know
good.
If I told y'all, baby boy was wetting the whistle. But all right, I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And, you know, listen, I was just minding my business like I always do, you know, extending grace when I can or trying to. And I, you know, just scrolling through the Instagram, and I happen to see one of the blog sites that I follow on Instagram, and they showed the cover of Variety magazine, and it happened to be none other than Miss Whoopi Goldberg. Okay, you might know her from Sitting on the View. You might know her from Sister Act. You might know her from Ghost. You might know her from A Long Walk Home. You might just know her, period. But listen, when I seen these photos of old Auntie Whoopi on the cover of Variety, okay, Whoopi's in her 60s. She just was looking great. And it was very fashion forward. You know, Whoopi has her dreads. And I always loved that about Whoopi when she would go into Sister Act or any of the other roles and she would wear wigs and just, you know, give. I'm all about an illusion. You know, sometimes we don't feel that great, but sometimes we can take a photo and it's all about the illusion. Can you catch that right? Light. Can they catch that right angle? Can you tilt your chin down? Can you, you know, it's all about the illusion. And I really just felt like I was in love with this photo shoot from Variety. So I don't know if you guys have seen it, but definitely Google Miss Whoopi Goldberg and see this photo shoot. She is serving it. And as one on this podcast that I love to give people their flowers while they're here, I want to give Miss Whoopi Goldberg her flowers and let her know she is freak of the week, bang bang. So if you happen to see that on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the Facebook, make sure you just let old Auntie Whoopi know that she is freak of the week. I just love it. I love Black Girl Magic. I love just, you know, Whoopi is somebody that I literally grew up with. I remember watching Ghost, okay? How many of y'all wanted to, like, get a boo-thang and create some pottery classes, okay? Come on, Demi Moore. But I love Whoopi. Come on, Sister Act. That's another thing that they talked about, doing a Sister Act. Is it a three? No, a Sister Act 1, 2. Yeah, that was another thing that they've been in talks of a Sister Act 3. I would be here for it. I love Whoopi, and she definitely is freak of the week. And if Whoopi, okay, is freak of the week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for listening, for always supporting your baby boy. It means so much to me. But listen, if you have not already, please make sure you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Y'all know my Uncle Pookie. He got up at the back of his truck. He mobile. He around the city of Philadelphia. So catch up with him and make sure you subscribe, okay? Make sure you give your baby boy some 5 stars. Listen, make sure you write a review and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that, listen, we come in full circle. Cause
it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. The Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.